Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety, the podcast from Lighthouse Hockey. My name is Dan Saracini. If you're listening to this, it means that we have finally figured out our technical difficulties and you are hearing me speaking via Skype with my friend Michael Leboff. Mike, I am so sorry that this is the fifth attempt at this podcast and the app that I've used to record for the last 2 years has decided to stop working, but I appreciate your patience and sticking with me.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dan does all the recording and editing, so I can't. First of all, it's great. I could talk about the Islanders for 20 hours, and I think we're close. He's not kidding. This is now attempt number five.
Over the course of 2 days, we've tried to do this.
Yeah. We went 0-3. We went 0-3 Wednesday night, and now we're 0-1 on Thursday. Tonight's Thursday. But we're here, and Jan Kovach is
not. Yes. Yes, we are working right now, and Jan Kovach is on his way back to Russia, having been placed on unconditional waivers by the Islanders after deciding not to report to Bridgeport, after being waived after training camp. We've talked about this five times now. Like, I don't think either of us is really all that bent out of shape about it. We hoped that he had been something, maybe some sort of found money over from Russia, but it didn't work out that way. Arthur Staple had an article today about maybe whether the long-term effects of this is, you know, word might get around the KHL that the Islanders aren't the right place to play, which could be dangerous for somebody like Ilya Sorokin, who the Islanders are still hoping to bring over here. But I don't know, man. I'm not too worried about it. Like, he came over. He didn't really play all that well. Did he play better than Valtteri Filppula and Leo Komarov? Yeah, maybe. But, you know, those guys had, unfortunately, the coach's ear because they're veterans and, Kovach couldn't kind of overcome that, and that's it. I mean, again, I'm not too broken up about it. I know you're not either.
Yeah, definitely not. And it's something, you know, Staple's point is a little interesting. I think it's funny that, this has kind of turned into that and like another chapter of the saga of players who, you know, in the beginning of Gar Snow's tenure was, you know, free agents don't ever want to sign here. So it's just like another footnote in that. And, I do think it's a little interesting. I think, it's definitely something to keep in the back of your mind when the Islanders try to import somebody from the KHL next time. But, I don't think we should be reading too much into it. Both of us wish Jan Kovach was on the team rather than Thomas Konakl, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And even now Tanner Fritz has been sent down, because Andrew Ladd is going to come back from injury, perhaps as early as Saturday. Maybe definitely on their West Coast trip, which begins next Wednesday in Anaheim. We have both totally, completely forgotten about Andrew Ladd, which is kind of crazy considering how much money he's making and his reputation when he came to the Islanders as sort of this final piece of the puzzle I don't know, didn't work out. He was the final piece for a puzzle that was missing about 40 other pieces. But he might come back soon and play on a line with the two Culture Club guys. We talked about Valtteri Filppula and Leo Komarov. And, I'm kind of afraid that line might be slow. You kind of feel like he's going to give some scoring punch to that line. So, hopefully we'll see how it works out, because it would be, Ladd should be a contributor. And, you know, it would be nice for him to be healthy and contributing too, because it could definitely help them. Just hopefully, we don't all immediately start to hate him again like we did for a while there before we forgot about him.
Yeah, well, that's actually funny. I've completely forgot that he went, what did he go, like 27 games or something without scoring a goal? Yeah, that was fun. The Islanders do that a lot. Like, Brock Nelson likes to do that too. That line, like just giving that line a little scoring punch, because, like, you know, we've said to each other a couple of times that the fourth line is, and people have talked about it, like that Cizikas line is looking good. So the way, like, the early returns on the reunited best fourth line of all time is been pretty good, because Barry Trotz is got a big brain in his head, so he knows how to use a line like that to this point, where he's not, sending them out for, they're not playing more than, the first line or the second line on a nightly basis. So I'm thrilled about
that. He's got no neck, but he's definitely got a big brain, which is great because the Islanders are playing pretty well to start the season. They're 3 games in, they're 2-1. They have progressively gotten better as the season has gone on. These 3 games have gone on. Their game in Carolina was essentially won by Thomas Greiss, who stopped like 40 some odd shots. The Islanders were a little bit slow. They had some trouble with Carolina's speed, but Greiss made all the saves he needed to. And Josh Bailey, well, Matthew Barzal drew a penalty just before overtime. And then he fed Josh Bailey for the game winner. So it was very exciting. A couple of nights later, they played Nashville at home. And, you know, the Predators are one of the best teams in the league. I mean, they're definitely one of the best teams in the Western Conference. They're looking, you know, as a Stanley Cup contender. And the Islanders, you know, punched above their weight, as you would say. Like, they played pretty well against a team that was really good. And they didn't win, but, you know, they certainly didn't embarrass themselves. And they had some chances to score late. And I know that's kind of a moral victory thing, but, you know, we're kind of looking for stuff like that. And then on Monday, in front of about 38 people at Barclays Center on Columbus Day afternoon, they shut out San Jose 4-0. And it was as airtight and as structured and controlled a performance as we've seen the Islanders play in a long time. And Robin Lehner made 33 saves in his Islanders debut, and he got a shutout. He's the first Islander ever to get a shutout in his debut, which is kind of remarkable, but also totally believable that that would be the case. But, yeah, they've gotten better, and it's, like you said, I mean, Trotz is the way he thinks the game is totally different than any Islanders coach they've had since, what, Ted Nolan? Maybe Peter Laviolette? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a big difference.
Honestly, I was thinking Laviolette, but I think Nolan too. Nolan, like with that team with like the Sillingers, and like those guys were you know game plan X's and O's right. guys, and I think Nolan was probably more of a rah rah coach than an X's and O coach, but that team was bread and wit, and
yeah,
they knew where they're supposed to be. They were you know. Decently intelligent hockey player. So that team definitely had a structure to it, and it worked.
And it was also an old team, too, like an older team of guys who kind of knew what they were doing before they came to the Islanders. You know?
Yeah, and it's funny that the other day, like, I was on the train, and I was watching a 3.5-hour, it might even be more than that, YouTube video of that season with Sillinger, the season they made the playoffs, one of the best seasons outside of the 2001-2002 season. Now, like it's not tainted, but that season 2006-2007. I was watching highlights from that season, and there's a YouTube video on it. I don't remember what the YouTube channel name or whoever put it together, but over three hours of footage from that season, including when Ryan Smith, the whole CBC special when Smith came over. So there's
remarkable.
Listen, if you if you're ever on a long drive or something and you're in the passenger seat and you're maybe a little bit crazy like we are, that will make it fly by because you'll see Mike York score in the first 2 minutes of the video. He scores against the Stars on the power play. And you're like, wow, I forgot that Mike York was on this team.
I'm going to definitely include a link to that. I'm going to embed that video in the show notes for this because I want to watch it. You first mentioned this to me, I believe in take three. Of this very labored podcast. And I was like, holy cow, I got to put this in there because that's pretty wild. I got to check that out. But yeah, I mean, Barry Trotz is unlike any coach the Islanders have had in a long, long time. And he has clearly taught these guys about structure and about the value of what he calls the safety net. Like the structure is always there. And, you know, when things get a little bit hairy and they are going to, and they already have, you can always go back to that structure and you can always go back to where you're supposed to be. And there was a moment in the game against the Sharks that I keep coming back to. It's the Islanders were killing a penalty. Ryan Pulick's stick broke. This is, again, the fifth time I'm telling the story. Ryan Pulick's stick broke. So Filppula gave him his stick. It's the Sharks. Like, they got Burns. They got Carlson. They got not Thornton, but they got Couture and all the whole crew. And, you know, you just think, oh, man, well, it's just a matter of time before the Sharks score. And the Islanders actually never left their zone. Both teams never left the Islanders zone for the entire 2 minutes, which is not a good idea. You shouldn't do that, but it does happen. And at no point were the Islanders out of control, or was there chaos, or were they kind of scrambly, with that kind of running around chickens without heads, you know, diving in them to nowhere to try and block a shot that never actually happens. They were always in control, and they were always kind of you can tell that they knew where they were supposed to be. And I mean, at one point they couldn't clear the zone. Filppula tried to kick the puck out of the zone at one point, didn't go. I think Pelech had a chance to clear the zone, didn't go. But they stuck with the game plan, and they managed to keep the Sharks off the score sheet. And in fact, they kept them off the score sheet the entire game. Robin Leonard gets some credit there too, because he was phenomenal. And you know, if he can keep up with that, that would be even greater. You know, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. It's only three games into the season. Again, things are going to get hairy. Wheels are going to come off. Guys are going to have the rugs pulled out from under them. But if they can maintain this structure and they can maintain being a tight defensive unit that knows where the other guy is going to be, maybe they find some success that a lot of people didn't think that they would, which would be a victory in and of itself, even if they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, and you said that the key word in that whole thing was game plan. Like the Islanders' game plan has gone from chip it in deep, get to work and play smart and hard, to now, yeah, like we're actually going to adapt to our opponents and have an actual game plan that is worked on. So yeah, it's a completely different animal dealing with here, and we're definitely going to see, this is pretty unsustainable with the two goalies play stand on their head, and then another game where they hung with the Predators. So that's not a recipe for success long term, but I mean, it's much better than being 0-3.
No, absolutely, for sure. And you know, it's funny too that you mentioned that, because Trotz's press conferences have also been a different animal too. And he was very upfront after that Carolina game that they weren't very good. And he said, we need to be a lot better. And Thomas saved us, and you know, we got to work on the structure. He just talks about how everybody, you know, needs to be where they're going to be and how it's going to come over time. And yeah, it's interesting to hear him talk about this kind of stuff and not, you know, just kind of dance around it or talk about Warriors and Smart and Hod and all that other stuff. And it's been very refreshing. And I got to say, it's very enjoyable. And hopefully it continues, because this is what we need to see. And it's something that's been a long time coming. So I'm hoping that it will continue. They do go on the road. They have so we've had to record this five times, but in a way it worked out. The Islanders' schedule was so wacky because we had an extra day to record this thing again. They played on Monday afternoon. They won't play again until Saturday. So you'll be hearing this hopefully on Friday, if we can manage to get to the end of one of these things. And then they don't play again until Wednesday in Anaheim, where they have a back-to-back. They have the Ducks on Wednesday and then the Kings on Thursday. So things are going to get really hard really quickly. Trotz, I know, is a guy from his Washington days that's big into the whole bonding and you know, maybe team exercises type of thing. So hopefully they can get some of that stuff in, which would be nice. Under new captain Anders Lee, who was named the captain just before the first game of the season. He is an unrestricted free agent. That sucks. I really don't want to hear about, you know, whether he and his agent and the team were talking, or whether this is a way to entice him to stay, or whether or not how much he loves Long Island. I don't want to hear it. It's going to give me PTSD. I don't want to hear it. But, I mean, we both like Lee. We're glad he's there. He just looks like he fits the role of team captain. And, it seems like he's the guy who's got all the players' attention, and he's the guy that they all follow. So good for him. You know, it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, I wonder if, if the Islanders had signed another free agent, would be a little different. But if Leo Komarov and Valtteri, if any of these guys who are here for the first year knew who Anders Lee was, I'm sure maybe, you know, if they were defensemen, yeah. He's really good. It's not that. It's just that he's such he's an Islander, first of all, and he's got to be the quietest 40 goal scorer or whatever. Absolutely. Well, outside of Jason Blake, who nobody knew who Jason Blake was until he signed a huge deal with the Leafs. Right. So, but I'm thrilled about him being captain. I think he would be my pick. If Trotz had came up to me and said, you get to pick, I probably would have said, yeah, I'll probably just give it to him.
Yeah. I thought about that too. I had friends last year who were like, who is Anders Lee and why does he have 40 goals? It's he's pretty good. In that way, he's almost the perfect Islanders captain. Nobody's ever heard of this guy. I remember that the captain of the Capitals before Alex Ovechkin was Chris Clark. And I remember thinking, who the hell is Chris Clark? Why is this guy the captain? But I guess this was before Trotz too. He was the guy who had the player's ears. And this was, you know, again, pre Ovechkin Capitals kind of barely exist. You know, there's almost a gap between the 98 Stanley Cup Finals team and then the Ovechkin era. So if you just it's almost like they turned themselves off after 1998 and rewoke in 2005. you wouldn't be faulted for just ignoring them at that point. But yeah, I mean, Trotz was the guy who was like, I asked all the players. This was the guy they said is the leader. Who needs, you know, we don't need to screw around. Just give him the C. And they gave it to him. And he's been all smiles ever since. So, and he's got two goals to go along with that. So there you go. Doing his thing on the power
play. Yeah, exactly. He's done really well in the power play. And his line is not done great yet at full strength, at even strength. But like the fact that the Islanders have two wins without really a second line producing is definitely good that they've been able to produce despite that. I would like to see that line start be the producing, or maybe Trotz moves some pieces around, get them like a better transporter. I think Dom was saying that they need like a bit, maybe more creative force, because they have a shooter in Eberle, and then they have Beauvillier, who's kind of, or excuse me, and Lee, who his job is very simple, just go to the net and play a heavy game. And then they have Nelson, and it's just like a couple of square pegs and round holes. But I'm sure that'll sort itself out. Yeah. So
I'd kind of like to see Bailey on that second line as the more distributor type. I don't know if it would disrupt things, but that would reunite Barzal, Eberle, and Beauvillier, who were great last year. But I know you think that might make them too top heavy, which is possible. But they're kind of top heavy now. I mean, any line, whatever line has Barzal on it is going to be the Islanders' best line. So they're kind of already top heavy. But I wonder if Bailey would be more of a distributor for Nelson and Lee than Eberle would, and kind of make things a little bit maybe, evenly distributed. But I don't know. I'm not a coach, so I don't know. I'm just saying. Maybe at some point we'll see that.
Yeah, it's funny actually. Like, I haven't like just noticed that line. That's been the thing. Like, I want to notice them more. And Jordan Eberle was so much fun to watch last year. So I'm excited for him to get going when he does, and people to remember that he's on the Islanders.
I'd like to see him stay. He's a UFA too. Him and Nelson.
I know
as well. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, I hate to say it because Brock, I think Brock has looked okay. He hasn't scored yet, but I think he's looked okay. I wouldn't be sad if, I guess, Nelson left, although you're afraid he might go to like Minnesota and like, you know, turn into a scoring machine or something like that. They might find that untapped potential. But I just kind of like Eberle. I don't know. He seems like a cool guy, and I just like having him around. And, you know, it's funny, again, almost like Justin Schultz with the Penguins. I mean, okay, he wants two Stanley Cups, so why wouldn't he be happy there? But, you know, when the Edmonton media kind of runs you out of town and then you end up on someplace else and you actually are very successful there. I just kind of like that. It's kind of makes me feel good for you and happy for you.
Yeah. He's cool.
Yeah.
He's slick and I don't know. Yeah. Like he's the only Jordan Eberle basically in the league is the way I think about it. Like, he's very good at so many different things, including scoring, and that's great. So, yeah, I would love to see him stay. I've definitely enjoyed him. I actually had a friend of mine who's a big Ranger fan, who for some, we all fall in love with like players on other teams, and he always a huge Jordan Eberle fan. And I remember before the Islanders traded for him, I was like, the Islanders have been connected to Jordan Eberle for a while, and what are you guys still like him when he comes to the Islanders? And he was like, this is like when you said Lundqvist was going to go to the Islanders. He didn't take it seriously, but I almost want him to sign an extension just so he's not one of those guys that we've had for 2 years. You're like, and 4 years from now, we're recording an episode. We're like, remember we had Jordan Eberle? That was really random.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, no, that would be. I mean, they're going to have to re-sign somebody. Well, now that Jan Kovach's $2 million are off the books, maybe they'll use it on one of these guys. So there you go. we'll have to see. One other thing about that Sharks game that got a little bit of attention from the folks up north that helped run Jordan Eberle out of town, was the attendance. It was actually about, I think, 8,300 people or something like that. That's pretty bad. It's like the worst attendance that the history of Barclays Center with the Islanders. You know what? My feeling is, first of all, I'm over these kinds of stories. Everybody else should be too. It's just the way it is. But my other thing too is like, I can't say I'm surprised, because if you're a person that's been living on Long Island or lives on Long Island, and you've been schlepping to Barclays Center for these years with the train and the time and the money and all that stuff, and now they've just mentioned that they've announced that they're going to have 20 games at Nassau Coliseum, which is much closer to your home, why on earth would you try and get out to Barclays Center? You would not. You would wait for the games at the Coliseum. And they've pushed those games a lot, like ticket sales and stuff. So of course you're going to go there. And so I'm not surprised that attendance at Barclays Center would be hurt. I'm a little surprised that that particular game would be hurt because there's always a lot of kids there. But hey, again, if I didn't have to get on the train to go there, I wouldn't either. But that also means that I hope people pack the Coliseum when they do play there, because then that would be a problem. And obviously, I hope people pack Belmont when that eventually gets built in 2021 or finished in 2021, as John Ledecky told Andrew Gross and Jim Baumbach today of Newsday. So, it's a big deal. Apparently, Sportsnet or whatever made a big deal about it. Again, I'm over these stories. If you live in Manhattan or Brooklyn or Queens and you can take the subway to Barclays Center, now is definitely the time to go, because these tickets are dirt cheap. And if this thing goes the way we all kind of think it does, this might be the last time you have an opportunity to watch the Islanders at Barclays Center. So don't go to goose the Islanders attendance, because it's always going to be bad, but just go because it's a heck of a good deal. And you can get into an NHL game super cheap and super easy, and nobody's there. It's kind of like the old days of the Coliseum. And just do it. But don't worry about the attendance, because, again, it's going to be bad at Barclays, and why wouldn't it be, really?
You know what's funny is nobody does a low attended game better than Nassau Coliseum. Like, it's just there's something natural about there only being 5,000 people
right.
at an S. Yeah, exactly. At Barclays Center, it's a little different because it's like glitzy and they've still pumped like really loud noise. I feel like at Nassau Coliseum when the island it was like 2009 and the Islanders were playing like the Blues or something on a cold February night and Ben Bishop was shutting him out or some shit. Like the Paul Cartier and just like the game ops crew kind of reflected that. Like there was no like blaring music and stuff. So at Barclays, that's how it is. Yeah. So I just think that it's like when there's a low attending game at Barclays, it's like nails on a chalkboard compared to what it was like at the Coliseum.
Right, because it's such an opulent, like postmodern or whatever, I'm sure there's a word for it, like super modern place that's supposed to host, concerts by the biggest headliners and like, heavyweight boxing matches and, even WWE wrestling, which is like a huge, huge event, like WrestleMania and things like that. And then the Islanders show up and it's sort of like, who the hell let these guys in? It's like, a rec league team playing at Madison Square Garden. Like I don't even know. I mean, what's even the...
Why do all these fans look so depressed? They're here at Barclays Center.
Yeah.
We have all this music playing for them and they're still upset. Yeah. Like, why are they upset?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it's, meanwhile, they close concession stands because nobody's using them. And it's like, there's like probably half the security staff that used to be there. But again, it's a good deal. If you can get there, it's a good deal. You want to save some money, definitely go now, because now is the time. So we talked Lee, we talked Kovach, we talked the record. Hopefully things are going. The best fourth line ever, best fourth line in hockey, whatever. They look pretty good. They're playing minutes that are commensurate with what a fourth line should be playing, and they've looked pretty good. And hey, good for them. Again, hopefully it continues. It probably won't, but if it does, that's great. And it's good to see Matt Martin back, like we talked about last week. It's nice.
Yeah, and Clutterbuck's been really good. He looks kind of a different player to start. He looks like a serviceable third liner, which is probably his ceiling, and that's fine. So good on you, Cal. I think Martin scored, right? One of them scored.
Yeah, he got a nice feed from Filppula. Again, Filppula's played really well, although the underlying numbers have not been kind to him, as they haven't been for years. But he hounded somebody, some shark, into the corner and basically stole the puck from him and kicked it out to the right, directly to the slot. And who was there but Matt Martin by himself? And when he scored that goal, I was home. My daughter had a half day that day, so I picked her up from school in between the second and third periods. She was doing her homework, and I'm kind of watching the game out of the corner of my eye. And when he scores, I literally started laughing out loud because I'm like, that's the easiest goal Matt Martin's going to score in a long time. I think even Matt Martin knew that it was a pretty easy goal to score. And at that point, it was like 4-0, and the Islanders were well on their way to winning. And I was telling my daughter a little story about how he left and he came back and he likes being on the Islanders. And I like this guy. And he just got fed for there wasn't anybody within 10 feet of him. And he scored this great goal, and good for him. I'm just happy for him. It was really nice to see. But yeah, the whole line has played really well. And it's amazing what you can do when you cut down on a guy's playing time by half, right? Like it makes him seem a lot better.
Yeah, it's funny that you laughed at that goal, because when Filippo scored the first goal of the season, I started laughing. I was just like, it's just no one else. There was the only other person that could have scored the first goal of the season was Lucas Pisa. It was either going to be Filippo or is it going to be Pisa?
You know, so it's so funny. In the five times, the four previous times we've done this show, the name Lucas Pisa never came up. Wow, this is the first time he's come up. So
it's true. That is
he
true.
Was set in favor of Scott Mayfield for game three. And the Islanders won by a shutout. So maybe he'll be set again for Saturday night's game in Nashville. You know, I can't say that we'll never see Lucas Pisa again. You know, that's probably very harsh. I did hear, I believe it was, I forget what podcast it was, but they were talking about how he was booed. In the first game, Lucas Pisa, like, he hadn't even played a game yet for the team, and he was already getting booed by the home fans. I felt a little bad for him, you know, but it's you know, that's kind of a testament to the kind of knowledgeable Islanders fan out there. Like, they know who Lucas Pisa is, and they know what his reputation is, and they've read about him, and they know what people say about him online. And you know, it's a tough spot. Again, I feel a little bit bad for him, but you know, that's indicative of who the Islanders are. Like, they know their stuff. Who Islanders fans are, they know their stuff, and they're not gonna like just let it give a guy pass. He's got to earn his applause. And you know, although they did applaud Mitch Korn, goaltending consultant, when his name was announced, and they applauded Robin Leonard for his you know, he hadn't played yet at that point either, but his very honest and raw athletic article, you know, put people on his side, and people want to see him do well. Whereas Lucas Pisa, everybody's like, get this guy off the team. I don't want to see him out there. So that's kind of funny. Typical, you know, Islanders tough crowd for even for the home opener. You know, they're not taking anything right from day one.
Yeah, and it's funny too. Like the Leonard thing was great. Just obviously probably the best story of the weekend at the NHL, and then seeing him come out as the first star, and just like the look on his face, it was cool, and I it was funny. Like, I was thinking about him, and like I said a couple episodes ago, like I tweeted out like, that he like always struck me as like a crazy guy when he's playing goal, and it struck me that started, he was with Ottawa before Buffalo, and that's when he really started to earn that reputation, because I'm pretty sure I want to say it was. So it was four seasons ago, but there was like a game where he was like harassing one of the Islanders forwards, and it might have been Matt Martin.
Wasn't it Kevin Poulin? He bumped Kevin Poulin, didn't he? That was
what it was. Yeah, yes, it was Kevin Poulin. Yeah, right, exactly. There was like this game, and I was like, wow, that guy is nuts. Like, what an old school guy. Now he's here. Yeah. So, I really like him. I think he's it's been cool. He's been pretty easy to root for so far. Yeah. And he played well, and obviously, you know, he's not going to post a 35 save shutout every night, and so we'll take it when we can, Robin. So, yeah. And yeah, good for, you know, Mitch Korn, by the way. Like, that is, and we've talked about the bad things that Lou's done, Lucas Pisa being part of it, you know, the Kovach saga, the Komarov contract, but Barry Trotz would not be here without Lou Lamoriello, and neither would Mitch Korn wouldn't be here without Barry Trotz. So like there's going to be a give and take with this whole regime, and it's probably going to be frustrating a lot, but at the same time, it's also like the Islanders literally would have these Doug Waite and Gar Snow probably still if it wasn't for Lou.
Yeah. Definitely. And, yeah, you know, I mean, and Piero Greco is the other guy who came. He's the goaltending coach, and he came from Toronto, where Lou worked with him too. So, yeah, I mean, it's gonna be like that. Like, there's gonna be good and bad, and you know, I get a little bit frustrated when, you know, you're not allowed. People are very kind of black and white, especially online, and everything's got to be all good or everything's got to be all bad. There's good and bad here again. The Islanders are 2-1, and we sound pretty happy about it, but I mean, there's good and bad with that. Like, yeah, okay, we had to watch Lucas Pisa for two games and it wasn't fun, and the underlying numbers for half the team aren't really great, but again, they're looking much better. You know, having said that, they look much better than they did at this point last year. So, I mean, there's kind of a give and take, and, you know, you don't want to get too excited, but at the same time, you don't want to get too, you know, pessimistic about it. And actually, that's a segue to a review I want to read that this is the fourth time I'm reading this, by the way. And the fourth time I made a very similar segue. So this is a review that a listener left us on iTunes. The listener's name is C. Dennehy 2001, and they write, they gave us 4 stars, so thank you very much. They wrote, not perfect, but as good as we're going to get. And they write underneath that, there's no questioning the host's passion for Islanders hockey. They wear it on their sleeves. With very little to or no media attention given the team by local media, the podcasts are a godsend. Also, they are obviously very knowledgeable on the team and its history. Their discussions are usually thoughtful, if occasionally rambling and off topic. Yes, guilty. I will say that. Their overall tone is generally pessimistic, which is understandable given the many years that franchise has been in the wilderness. However, I am a little surprised that their doom and gloom has continued unabated under the new regime of Lou and Barry, which is the best thing that has happened to this franchise since Bill and Al. I have been a fan of the team since 1975, and I think that Lou and Barry are the real deal. These guys are a brain trust. Mark my words, they are going to get it right. Come on, boys, give them a little time. Thank you very much, C. Dennehy 2001, for your review. We really appreciate it. 4 stars. And you're 100% spot on, by the way. That was very honest and 100% spot on. You know, I think I speak for Mike, and, you know, I don't, you know, you could jump in with whatever you guys, you know, feel like. But we're not trying to be pessimistic, but there's just so much baggage with this team that it's hard to not take all of that into consideration whenever we talk about anything. So, you know, we could talk about how good a guy is, but we've seen guys play well and then all of a sudden not play well. We've seen guys, you know, we thought were going to be really great and then not turn out to be really great. And we've seen guys come and play and then guys leave. So, you know, we're just trying to take the good with the bad, and we might focus a little bit on the bad. The bad is often funnier, and it brings up funnier mentions and memories, like, you know, guys like Mike Sillinger and Ryan Smith. You know, I think we definitely have a lot more trust in Trotz. Like you were just saying, like, if it wasn't for Lou, Trotz wouldn't be here. So, I mean, we definitely have trust in those two guys more so than we would have had the old regime still stayed here. But it's definitely hard to separate all that baggage when, you know, from the past, when you're looking forward to the future, no matter how excited for the future you may be.
Right. Yeah. And you put it perfectly, like, just what, 10, 15 minutes ago, I was just talking about how I spent a lot of time watching a highlight video from 2006, 2007, when the Islanders lost a 5-game series in the first round to the Buffalo Sabres. Like, and that's literally a top 3 season for me in my lifetime. So, like if there's like a, I'm sure that there's no, you know, Edmonton Oilers fan watching a video, or there's no 3.5-hour video from a season where they were an 8 seed and lost in the first round. To everybody else, that just looked like a 5-game series. I mean, we as Islander fans know the Islanders, that was the closest 5-game playoff series in history. But that's the baggage you were referring to. We've basically seen it all and then some. So with this team, so it's hard not to kind of lean towards the doom and gloom ish way. And if the Islanders were, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we were expecting them to win every night, it would be a little bit of a different story. Right. But
yeah,
it's just not how it is, right, unfortunately, and hopefully that changes soon.
Well, and if it's gonna change, they've got the guys in place to make that change. You know, even Lou, again, with, you know, we've mentioned now a couple of times that the questionable signings that he's made, you know, I think that, you know, one good thing about Lou is that he's not afraid to cut bait on somebody that's not working. Case in point, Jan Kovach, who is now, you know, again, gone. It didn't work out. And I bet that was part of the sales pitch, too. Like, hey, man, if it doesn't work out, we'll just put you on waivers and you can head right back home. So, you know, I think that's a good thing about Lou, and we'll have to see how that progresses later on. Hopefully they, you know, once the luck runs out on some of the guys that are kind of swimming, you know, keeping their head barely above water right now, they can call up some guys, and maybe Bridgeport can develop the way those players should have been developing and send them up to the Islanders where they can help out a little bit more. But yeah, no, I mean, I think I think pessimistic is probably the wrong word. We're cautious. I don't know if we're cautiously optimistic. We're definitely cautious, but, you know, it's hard to kind of get too excited, but at the same time, you know, I'm much happier with Barry, especially after these three games, having seen just the difference he's made in three games between last year and this year. I mean, it's hard not to be optimistic for Barry Trotz, and you just hope that, you know, it continues the way it is. But thank you again for the review.
Yeah,
we really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think like when I don't even your priority, right? Pessimism. It's not pessimistic. It's guarded. We're like wounded animals. Yeah. So
oh, I always say that Islanders fans are like wounded dogs. Like they're very afraid of strangers. They're very afraid of loud noises, and they can bite you. Like they don't want to be touched either way. So they have to be very careful with them. But you know, I think we're looking forward to the rest of the season. It would be easier to look forward to the rest of the season if there wasn't a week off in the middle of the first two weeks of the season.
God, yeah.
This is a little bit crazy. And I mean, and they're going to get a bye week later on too. So the Islanders are probably the only team in the league who get basically two bye weeks in the same season. But again, hopefully they can use that for some bonding experience.
Yeah. It is funny too, and the season series with the Predators will be over. Yeah. See, I think Brendan Burke said he's like the Islanders play the Sharks tonight and then today, and then they play him again in 2 weeks, and that'll be it. Yeah, this is just it's just so weird that you know that's how the NHL schedule spits out at us.
It is very weird.
I'm sure that the you know, however that computer was programmed and that program that they used to make the schedule, they probably were like, oh, we have to, you know, now put a different input in because the Islanders have two arenas, making our lives a little bit.
Yeah, I know, right?
So it's probably our fault, not theirs.
Yeah. And they always play some weird, like, Western teams. They always seem to play the Sharks in the second week in October, which is always kind of an odd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You
know, but
I wonder if that's just like in the system. They're like, this works. Yeah. Like, let's just get the Islanders Sharks 0.2 rating game out of the way in October, right? Before anybody realizes.
I wonder if the Sharks like to come here. I mean, Doug Wilson's been the Sharks GM for a long time, and I wonder if he's got some pull, and he's like, can we just get the stupid trip to New York, New Jersey, Long Island, Philly out of the way right off front because we don't want to come back here? Meanwhile, Jim Benning of the Canucks doesn't have quite the same pull, so the Canucks always end up here in, like, February when their season is already over, and, you know, they got to play the Islanders in a stretch of, like, the Bruins, the Flyers, the Capitals, the Penguins, and they always stick the Islanders in there, and the Islanders generally have a pretty good time with the Canucks here because they've traveled 8 million miles and their season is already over. But I don't know.
Yeah. Theory. I wonder if Doug Wilson, how many Islanders Doug Wilson can name.
Well, I know one former Islander he can name, but I won't mention him.
Yeah.
It's too late, and we've been through this too many times to go into that. Don't go down that road. All right, so did we miss anything? Again, this is the fifth time we've gone through this now. I think we've kind of talked. We've covered everything a little bit quicker than we have in the past. The attendance, the Kovach, the games. The schedule, it's weird. Ladd, we totally forgot about Ladd this entire time, but yeah, we'll have to see how he reacts. Again, he might not play Saturday, but he might come back next week, so look for that. I don't know, people might not be too excited about it, but maybe finally he can live up to that giant contract. I'm sure he won't, but there you go.
Yeah, yes, and as long as we joke around a lot about him and that contract, but that will forever go down as the I fell in love with the school system contract. So
yeah, the Doug Waite drove me around Long Island contract. That's what that is. maybe.
I hope he took him to Zorn's.
Yeah. You know? Hey, I'm eating there this weekend. I'm very excited. I can't wait.
I know.
You know, it just occurred to me. I wonder if, because Doug Waite, you know, after he was let go, he went back to Michigan. I don't know if they gave him some kind of like title or something. I don't have the Islanders directory up, but it would be great if he was like director of free agent tourism. So like the free agents come in and like they drive around with Doug in the car and he tells them about all the cool places to live and the schools and where to eat and where to go golfing and all that stuff. Cause he's obviously very effective at that because he got Andrew Ladd to sign, you know, with the Islanders. So that should be his job.
You know, what's funny is a couple weeks after they had let go of Doug, I saw a picture of him. I think it was from, maybe like, I don't know when it was. It was sometime in the summer, but he was out in the Hamptons. It was him and his wife and Franz Nielsen and Franz Nielsen's wife. And I think Matt Martin was there.
This is after he got fired? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Out east on Long Island. So that just goes to show you, you know,
that's really funny.
What Jan Kovach is missing. Yeah. You know, you could spend the rest of your life here on Long Island with Radek Martinek.
Miro Chetan.
Yeah. Miro and Dennis Seidenberg. And there's a guy on the train I take every morning, and he's definitely not Radek Martinek. But God, does he look like him? He looks just like Radek Martinek, and he skateboards. Like we are on the same schedule, me and this dude. Funny. And he skateboards in front of me, basically crossing the street to get onto the train, and I'm like, God, I just really wish that was really Radek Martinek.
Now I can only picture Radek Martinek on a skateboard now. Like, that's all I can picture right now. And I'm actually laughing because that's very funny. Yeah, no, Dennis Seidenberg, he's never leaving now. He's a Long Islander now. They may sign him to a PTO, I guess, but, you know.
Steven Gianta, too, is just going to live on Long Island for the rest of his life.
Hey, you could do worse than being the perpetual PTO. If they sign one of those two guys, that's going to be another like, Lou, what are you, crazy? You're an old bastard. Like, don't do that, you know. But, I mean, hopefully it doesn't happen. Here we go again. Let's assume it's probably going to happen, which would really suck. But let's, you know, I don't know. I'll refrain from being mad about it.
I wonder if it's like a loophole kind of thing that Lou's doing where, you know, obviously the roster size, you can't have more than 23 people.
Yeah.
So maybe like they're just like, yeah, we're just going to put him PTO and these are practice players, like a practice squad in football. Like, and we're just going to keep them around. So our practices are a little bit better.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have, instead of playing, you know, rotating in the scratches and with the fourth line, there is one. Maybe there's something cooking here with Lou.
I wonder if there's a time limit, like a number of days you can be a PTO, or you could just be a PTO all season. I don't know. That would be weird. It reminds me of the old Eric Bolton going on IR after getting hurt in practice. And
that was
room for somebody.
that was
I
great.
Love that. That was an annual event. Like Eric Bolton being put on IR because he got quote unquote hurt. How does a guy who never plays get hurt? Well, he got hurt, so he's on IR now. And now why we get called?
I'm sure he's on Long Island.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, totally. Isn't he coaching somewhere? Like maybe coaches like a U team. Steve Webb is another guy. He lives on Long Island.
Yeah, Matt Carkner.
Yeah, Oh, yeah. I guess unless he lives in Bridgeport, but yeah, Matt Carkner is around. Yeah. So
It's going to be there's going to be a men's league team and they're going to be called the New York Islanders and it's going to be Seidenberg, Carkner, Martinek, Chetan, DiPietro, Ned. It's going to be great.
I'll bring Garth Snow in. He definitely does not live on Long Island. I think he went back to Maine. So.
Yeah.
But it's a funny thing. And again, Islanders, if you're listening, Doug Waite, director of free agent tourism. That's the thing. Put Doug on the payroll. He's a good dude. Tells good stories. I would want to be driven. If I can get driven around by Doug Waite and shown the sights, I would totally do that. I'm from Long Island, and I want to drive around with Doug Waite and have him point out stuff to me because I bet it'd be a laugh riot. So there you go. So I think that about covers it. Thank you again, C. Dennehy 2001, for the review. Please, everybody, leave us a review on iTunes if you can. I fixed the little icons at the bottom of the notes page, so you can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us on SoundCloud. I post the stuff there. I'm going to try and get us on iHeartRadio soon. I got my Golden Girls podcast on there. I totally forgot how, so I'm going to have to reach out to the host and find out how we did that. But that'll be another way to listen. We could be on Spotify, but it's going to cost us money. So it's a whole thing. So don't look for us there. But once we get distributed other places, I'll let you know. Movie recommendation for the week. It has a tenuous Islanders connection. And a tenuous Everton connection, as I found out during one of our previous incarnations of this podcast. We'll get to that in a second. We found out this week that former associate coach Greg Cronin tried to give defenseman Adam Pellick the nickname the Cobra. It did not stick within the locker room, but I can tell you just from looking at the Lighthouse Hockey comment section that it has definitely stuck there. So Adam Pellick, you are now the Cobra. So in honor of Adam Pellick and I guess in Greg Cronin, my movie recommendation for the week is the 1986 action movie masterpiece Cobra, starring Sylvester Stallone and Bridget Nielsen. Cobra is absolutely terrible. And by absolutely terrible, I mean it's hilariously awesome in all of the best ways. Stallone both overacts and underacts at the same time. It really is something to behold. He wears sunglasses the entire time. He eats a slice of pizza in a way no human has ever eaten pizza before or since. He blows a lot of stuff up. He says a lot of stuff like, crime is the disease and I'm the cure. And he chews on like matches and stuff and lots of things die. And it's a terrible, terrible movie that is a lot of fun to watch. So watch Cobra. You got an extra day. It's Friday night. There's no Islanders game on tonight. Watch Cobra. You won't be disappointed. I'm sure it's at your library. They have it for some reason. And there you go. That's my movie pick of the week. Cobra in honor of Adam Pellick. And you were telling me that Sylvester Stallone, of all people, is a huge Everton fan.
Yeah, so he is, and it is either – I'm not totally sure of the origin, but I know that Stallone, like 7 or 8 years ago, was there and was at Goodison Park where Everton plays in Liverpool, and he was holding up – there's a picture of him holding up a scarf, and whatever it was clicked in him because when they made the movie Creed, they shot – the bad guy in that movie was a boxer named Tony Bellew, who's like a – he's actually put together a decent career kind of against all odds and become like a actually like big, like an A-side fighter somehow. And his nickname is the Blue Bomber because he's a huge Everton fan. So they signed him to play in that movie because he's a brash guy, very clever and good act. He had acting chops, and they shot that movie at Goodison Park. And you can see the Everton badge on his shorts in that movie. So yeah, Stallone, Everton fan. And, you know, I don't know if he's an Islander fan, but he's probably Flyers.
He was originally from Brooklyn, but yeah, I think he's a Flyers fan now, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Stallone.
But yeah, it's great. And so Everton's got this like shifty little Brazilian player named Bernard now. And the crowd, and as much as like I hate when we kind of like adopt and like steal things from these soccer crowds, and I think it could get a little obnoxious, there's a song for him, this, you know, very, very, he's like a short little Brazilian guy. And he's just like a magic with the ball at his feet. And he's just been terrorizing defenders. And so when now Everton fans are singing to that Joy Division song, Love Will Tear You Apart, it's Bernard will tear you apart again. And it clicked to me when I heard it. I was like, it works for Matt Barzal. It could be Barzal. Barzal will tear you apart again.
I like that.
And so it's been stuck in my head for now. Yeah.
It's been stuck in my head for 48 hours because you first told me that story Wednesday night. And I was like, that's awesome. We should definitely do that. So yeah, no, I agree. That would be pretty awesome. I like that. And it's, I don't think it's necessarily aping another team. I mean, okay. So the yes, we have adapted to us. I think that's pretty cool. You adapt. That's the way it is. You steal and you adapt. But if it works, it works. You know, I think it works.
Can I tell you something funny? Sure. So I'm on the NHL.com app or the NHL app. There are no hockey games tomorrow.
Really? That's
tomorrow being Friday, October 12th.
Great scheduling. That's awesome. All right. Wow. That's awesome. That's unbelievable. There are no games tomorrow. Wow.
I guess not. That can't be right. Right? I'm looking at the app, and it's showing no game scheduled.
I'm afraid to call it up on my computer because I'm afraid that it's going to crash.
I'm looking online. There are no NHL games tomorrow.
That's so funny. That is so funny.
What on? How on earth?
Yeah.
The season is 8 days old.
I mean, there was a bunch of games tonight, so I guess that's about it. I mean, yeah, geez, there was a lot of games today. Holy cow. And October 13th, that's an unbelievable thing. So even more of a reason for people to watch Cobra starring Sylvester Stallone Friday night. There's no hockey games at all on. So there you go. So, you know, wow. That's completely crazy. The season. Yeah. I mean, what better way to signal the start of a new season than to take a day off? That's not the when does the NBA start? That doesn't start tomorrow, does it?
I think it starts next
week. Okay, because I was gonna say maybe they're like getting out of the way for the NBA, but no, that would be giving the NHL too much credit. They just decided to take a day off. Hey, you know what? I like to take days off too, so I can't blame them. But anyway, okay. So all right, we made it to the end. We've done it. I think we've actually managed to get through an entire podcast without it eating itself. So please tell everybody your Twitter account again so they can follow you.
It's the Big Lebowski with two E's.
You should follow the Big Lebowski with two E's on Twitter. You should read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. You should check out Cobra. You should leave us a review on iTunes or SoundCloud or wherever you want. We really appreciate you listening. We do this because people like it, and we love doing it ourselves. But we love that people download us. And
we love it so much. We did it
five times. So we really appreciate you listening. We really appreciate you always sticking out with us. We hope that we have brought you 50 some odd minutes of Islanders enjoyment. And we will see you again next week after the Islanders have played a grand total of one game. We'll talk about that game next week sometime, and we'll see where we're at. Okay, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.